Christian Crusaders welcomes you to our radio ministry on this first Sunday in Lent. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
A person asks you this question. You confess Christ as your Savior and Lord. Tell me, what effect does He have on your life? We're going to discuss this today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we pray that our lives may be so lived that people may see a difference. Then grant when they see the difference and they ask how it all came to be, we can point them to You, Lord Jesus, for You are the one who continues to live within us and work through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the third chapter of 1 Peter, beginning at the 15th verse. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with kindness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Here ends a reading of God's holy word.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me near.
Friends in Christ, I belong to a study group made up of professional and business men. At this particular meeting that we attend on a monthly basis, we hear some very interesting and thought-provoking programs. But I believe that one of the most enjoyable parts of the meeting is to listen as these people tell about their experiences as doctors, lawyers, educators, farmers, business people, and so forth. It is easy to see how their lives have been shaped by these experiences and how anxious they are to tell about what they have gone through during their years on this earth. Let someone ask me about my experiences as a pastor, and I am ready to talk. Yes, there have been a few unpleasant times, but for the most part, it has been a wonderful life with great experiences as I have seen God at work in the lives of people. These experiences of life have much to do in making me what I am. And so it is also true with you. And that is what Peter is talking about in our text today when he says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have in you." Let me say it again. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have in you. And that's where this whole statement comes out. You confess Jesus Christ. And then the question, what effect does he have on your life? The Christian has many experiences that shape his or her life, like anyone else does. But the one experience that towers over all others is that of meeting Jesus Christ, for there the life is changed from beginning to end. It may take a while, it may take many years, but let Jesus Christ live in your heart, and you are in the process of being changed. It's sort of like you've got one life, but it has many chapters, and every one of those chapters in some way has been affected by Jesus Christ. Peter goes on to tell what Christ has done not only for him, but for the whole world. Listen to some of these words that come from his pen, as he also gives confession of his faith and tells the story. He says, "For Christ died for your sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit." In another passage, "For we know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty ways of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Or hear this one, He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your soul. In other words, what Peter is saying is that if you have met Christ, your life is different. It's one life, but there are many chapters, and every one of those chapters has been touched by Jesus Christ. Stop and think of those verses that we have just read. It was Jesus Christ who came into this world to suffer and to die, friend, that your sins and mine could be forgiven. He did that not with silver and gold, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He did that your life and mine might be different. By his wounds we have been healed. We were like sheep going astray, but now he has redeemed us. He has returned us to the shepherd of our soul. Life before Christ, life after Christ is entirely different. Some of us who have always walked with him don't always understand what life would be without him. And yet as we grow in sanctification, that is, in the holy life, we see too how old things are finally taken away and the new life continues to be brighter and more full all the time. Those of you who came to Christ later on in life through a conversion experience can point to before Christ and after Christ. It is that time in life where that great event takes place that our lives are changed, and that is in the meeting of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, Peter says, because you have this tremendous experience, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is in you. I remember one time at this study club, a physician was asked, "Tell us one of the greatest experiences that you have had in your life as a doctor." Oh, he turned around and he said, "Time would not permit. I could not limit it to one. Every day has a fresh and new experience. As through the act of medicine, I have seen lives healed." Well, is it not true that the Christian would also go on to say, "Through the grace of God, I have seen life changed. And as a result of that, it has been a glorious time. I've got a story to tell you. Let me tell you what happened to this person or that person. Or let me tell you what actually happened in my own life." That's the story that we are to tell. I had a good friend. He was my neighbor. I loved him with all of my heart. He had a real success story to tell, and I just liked to ask him a question, and then he was free to move on and expound on it, always telling me how gracious God had been to him. When this man was a little boy, his mother died, leaving behind a family. He went on to tell about his father, how his father held the family together, worked hard, and was a good man. He talked about his siblings. He said we were close to one another as we tried to carry on and make the best out of our mother being taken from us. And then he said we grew up. Wasn't long before I was out of high school and the army was calling. He was drafted into the service and became a soldier in Europe. He went through the thick and the thin of it all. It was pretty hard for any of us to get him to talk too much about his days in Europe, the Battle of the Bulge. Without a doubt, there were haunting memories there of people dying all around him. He didn't like to talk about it. But once in a while, if I were all alone with him, I could get a little bit out of him. And I remember one day when he was telling me this, he said, "I, at that time, was not a person who knew very much about God, but," he said, "in retrospect, I see how he was with me, how he protected me." And why I came home and others did not is a mystery that I will never be able to understand. But that means that I have to live for him. I remember when he came home, he said that he met a congregational minister. And that man, who was from Wales, took this person under his wing. And there he began to lead him into the presence of Jesus Christ. He roomed in the home of a maiden lady who was a great Christian person, a person who could let her life just so shine that he saw that there was something different about her. And that person told him more and more about Jesus Christ. Finally, I believe that it was through this lady that he was introduced to the person who became his wife. Later on, he joined our church. His wife had already been a member. They had a family. They became pillars of the church. They heard the Word of God proclaimed. They read the Word of God in their home. They saw the Word of God affect them as husband and wife, but also their children. They watched their children grow up in the faith. And as he would tell me these stories, it was again and again that he pointed back, this is all because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. He entered into the business world. He was not just to be an ordinary businessman. He went on and became highly successful as a salesperson. He was the first one to say, I had a limited formal education. I think sometimes it even bothered him. But here was a man who was blessed with super intelligence. And he would say to me, whatever God has given me, I am anxious to give back to him. And he did that as far as his monetary resources were concerned, his time. There came a day when a person from one of our church colleges, the president himself, happened to come to my office and he said, do you know somebody in your congregation who is not an educated person in a formal sense of the word, but who is an astute business person? I need a person like that on my board of regents. I said, I've got just the man for you. And this led the president to this man's office, and he was a member of the board of regents until God took him home, and there he lives in the kingdom of God forever. The interesting thing, and that's why I go over all of this, it didn't matter what chapter of that person's life I talked about, he inevitably came back to this, what Jesus Christ had done for him in that phase of his life. That is, friend, what the scriptures are talking about in our text today. Always be ready. But it goes on to give us a warning. It goes on to say that when you tell the story of Jesus Christ, make sure that you tell it in the right way. Do it with gentleness. Do it with gentleness. Don't talk down to somebody. Don't say, well, you don't understand where I am because I am so much farther ahead, spiritually speaking, that you couldn't comprehend what I'm going to say to you. But tell them in gentleness what the Lord Jesus has done. They want to know. They want to have some understanding. They want it to happen to them. Respect them. Perhaps their circumstances have not been as good as yours and mine has been, and they are completely ignorant of what Christ Jesus can really do. Do it. And I love that Peter says here, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason. Sometimes I grow awfully weary of those people who will almost break down walls to begin to tell you what Jesus Christ has done for them. I'm always kind of interested to listen because I am a Christian and I am a pastor, but there are some people who just simply do not care to listen to our faith stories. And so we wait. We wait for receptive ears. We wait in order that people can actually come and say, tell me, what is the difference in your life? back to my neighbor. You could not be with that man very long before you had to ask him what made you tick. There was just something unique about him. There were many other people in the same business that he was in, but they were successful too. But there was something about this person that was different, and that's what attracted people. You know, now as a person who is semi-retired, at least as far as serving a congregation is concerned, I often would ask myself, if I were back in the parish ministry again, and it was my privilege and my responsibility to speak in the same pulpit Sunday after Sunday, year after year, how would you do things differently? Let me tell you one thing that I would do. I would see to it that frequently, if not weekly, often, I would have people come up to the lectern and I would begin to dialogue with them, getting them to tell the story of what Jesus Christ had done in their lives. You know, there's an old saying, the proof of the pudding is in the eating of it. Well, you can stand there and verbalize. You can tell all kinds of good things that people hear concerning what Jesus Christ has done. But when here stands a person and says, I've just gone through this experience or that experience, now let me tell you what Jesus Christ did for me. I'd love to have that happen every day. For people need to hear that particular testimony. Well, my friend, it's not just in the church service. It is also on the daily walk, where you walk, where you find yourself at the grocery store. And someone says, have you got a minute to talk? Could you tell me, what has Jesus Christ done for you? Or what does your church do for you? Or maybe they're not as astute as you would like to have them be. What has religion done for you? Peter says, when they ask you, be always ready to tell them. He bore my sins on the cross of Calvary, that I could have the forgiveness of sins, that I could have the promise that I am his, both now and forevermore. He's assured me that he would walk with me while I am here, and he has promised that when this life is over, then I shall live with him forever in the kingdom of heaven. He is my comfort and my strength. He is my rock and my redeemer. And that's what Jesus Christ has done for me. Amen.
Sing the new song.
As we face another week, Heavenly Father, we know that you will give us many opportunities to tell what Christ has done for us. Having entered the Lenten season, where our thoughts are turned to the suffering and death of our Savior, prepare our hearts and cause us to see that you have loved us so much that you have sent him into the world to shed his precious blood that we might be redeemed. God, we pray that if there are those who yet do not know you, that they will have the courage to go to one of your children who bear the name of Jesus Christ to ask the question, what has the Lord done for you? Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that the Word of God may lighten your path during this season of Lent. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit, listener-supported radio ministry. Many of our listeners are broadcast sponsors, which means that they give a gift of $100. The average cost of 1/2 hour of radio time is $100. Each broadcast sponsor gift pays for one broadcast on one station for one Sunday. We thank our broadcast sponsors for their generosity, but gifts of all sizes are appreciated and used to share the gospel message. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help defray mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.